Welcome to the Fear and Doubt Detox Audio Summit. I'm Simona McNeil, a freedom from fear and visibility coach who helps women outsmart fear, doubt, and shame so they can go from dreamer to doer, one small action at a time. I'll be your host over the next 4 days, and I'm so excited to share these 20 plus interviews with you. Throughout these interviews, you'll be introduced to some amazing women of God. These are real women sharing their very real stories and experiences with fear, doubt, and shame, and how they overcame them. Together, we want to help you detox your thoughts, debunk the lies, and transform your life. Freedom is yours for the taking. While this event was created by Christian women for Christian women, this is a judgment-free zone where everyone is welcome. Think of these sessions as less of a finger-wagging soliloquy and more of a conversation between friends that we're inviting you to join in on. I'm so excited to hear about the growth, ahas, and transformation that come from this week's summit. Listen in. Welcome back to the Fear and Doubt Detox Audio Summit. I am joined today by my sister in Christ, Tefferet Jones. Now, if you are new to her world, you should know that she is a mighty woman of God. She's a wife, mother, a writer, published author, a speaker, and an ordained pastor. She's also a podcaster.
Today, she's talking about the topic, stepping out of doubt and into purpose.
The first thing that I would say is that a lot of people are unclear and unsure about their purpose. It's one of those questions that I get a lot. How do I know what I was meant to do? How do I know what I was created to do? And then it came to me one day that a lot of people have that question in the beginning, but even for the ones who have confirmed what their purpose is, even for the people who know exactly what they were created to do, it doesn't automatically allow them to do it. It doesn't automatically open the door and just, I'm here, I've arrived, I finally get it now, and now the path is so straight. I recognize that so many people know what they want to do, but do not have the confidence to do it. So many people know that they have a gift, and they know that there's something inside of them that God is trying to pull out. They're letting fear, they're letting doubt, they're letting insecurities hold them back. And I'm really passionate about that, maybe because it's something that I struggled with for so long, that when I got to the point where God really laid it out and showed me a blueprint through scripture, following the lives of the characters that are in the Bible, when he showed it and broke it down to me, it's like, oh, so you didn't leave us out here with no way. You didn't leave us down here with no blueprint, trying to figure it out by ourselves, that you actually laid the groundwork. And if we can follow these things and use the tools and use the resources that you've left for us, that we can overcome doubt and we can overcome the obstacles that are guaranteed to be in the midst when you're talking about stepping into purpose. And so that's originally what made me become passionate about that topic. And so when you said, hey, this is a Faith and Fear Summit, in my mind, it's like, okay, I want to help people get to purpose, but I know that there's some things that they're going to have to overcome first.
I love that mission. Talk us through your journey. How did you move from a place of, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, so maybe it wasn't for you, maybe it was just doubt, but how did you move from a place of fear or doubt to where you are now, where you can show up as your authentic self and step into and walk out your purpose?
Well, I'll tell you one thing, it did not happen overnight. And I think that's the misconception, right? We think that if I make certain changes, if I do certain things, I'm going to see a difference right away. I would say for me, the journey did not start out as a spiritual one. I tell this story often of how I just wanted to be happy because I got to a point in my life where I can literally look at this checklist and say, I have everything that they told me would make me happy. They said, if you get married, have kids, have a house, have a good job, make good money. Like that was all you needed to be successful. And when I got to that point, like I had the house, I have my degree, I have a good job, I have a husband, I have two children, a boy and a girl. And it's always funny to me because I'm like, I literally have a white picket fence. But when I got all of that last thing checked off and I still wasn't fulfilled and I still wasn't happy, I was like, okay, now what? And that was like the tipping point for me. Then there were these moments along the way. I remember driving in the car with my husband, and I work 5 minutes away, and his uncle must have given him some recording to listen to. And it was by this guy named Tai Lopez. He has this thing called 67 Steps to Health, Wealth, and Happiness. And in the 5 minute ride to my job, I heard him say, everybody wants to be happy. Nobody wants to do the work. And it was like, I don't know, a light bulb went off in my head. If I could just do the work, I can get to this thing called happy. I can get to this thing called joy. I can get to this thing called peace that I'm just fighting for, wanting, craving. And I started listening to his thing, and I really didn't know where to start, but I remember him saying, you should be learning something new every day. And the easiest way to do that is to read something every day. And so I just started reading books. This did not start out as a spiritual path, but the first book I read was called The Year of Yes by Shonda Rhimes. And I remember saying, like, I like Grey's Anatomy. She probably is going to be good. So let me just try it. And she talked about in this book how a year of saying yes to things changed her life and how it allowed things that were for her to flow to her. And it actually helped her to define her no. So in that moment, I was like, okay, I'm going to do a year of yes. And my mother used to send me these sermons. She used to send me all these things, and I would just never listen to it. But I was in a space where I'm just going to be open to what the universe sends me. And I remember listening to this message by T.D. Jakes, and it was an interview he was doing with Stephen Furtick. And he said, he made this statement. It was such a profound statement to me because he said, the reason why you are feeling what you're feeling is because you know that you were meant for something more. And even though some people are comfortable on the ground level, you're watching the airplanes in the sky and you know I'm supposed to be up there. And when he said that, it just he put into words everything that I had been feeling because I always wanted to feel like you should be grateful, you should be thankful for what you have. You shouldn't feel like you need more, you're not content. I thought it was a bad thing that I wasn't happy. Like there was something wrong with me that I have the thing that everybody else wants and I'm still not happy. I didn't realize that there's such a thing where God uniquely calls you to have certain frustrations in situations so that you can move forward, so that you do not settle in things that are less for you. I didn't recognize that. So I took my frustrations as I'm ungrateful. I should just learn how to be satisfied with what I have. And when I heard him say that, I'm like, no, there's a reason why I'm feeling this uneasiness. There's a reason why I don't feel comfortable on this level. And that's because God placed something in me that's greater. And from that moment, I remember texting my friends, like, hey, I don't know what is going to change. I don't know how it's going to change, but I just want to mark this day in history. Today, my life changed. And from that moment on, I would listen. I was like, let me hear more from this person. And I would listen to Stephen Furtick, actually. That was the first time I even heard of him. I'll be honest with you guys. Originally, I tried to like listen to more T.D. Jakes and I couldn't get into it. It was like, oh, this is a little bit too spiritually heavy for me. And I was like, who was that other guy who was interviewing him? And I went through this season of I probably listened to 3 or 4 years worth of sermons from Stephen Furtick. And just like back to back, anybody who knows me knows I had a headset in, and it was just like, I want more. I want to know more about this God that he's talking about, this Bible that he's talking about, these things that I never heard of. It was so mind-blowing to me that he shifted such a big part of my perception of what was available to me, what I was capable of. And I think that was probably the biggest turning point. And then I, you know, I branched out. I learned about other people. I did eventually start listening to TD Jakes, and he was just on a whole nother level. Then I got introduced to his daughter, Sarah Jakes Roberts. And I remember going to her conference at Woman Evolve. And that sparked something in me as well. When I came back from that conference, I'm like, all right, I'm going to start putting out, because I've gone through the season of learning and taking in and building up on the inside. I feel like God is calling me to now share some of the things that he's been teaching and training me on. And so I started doing little Instagram videos, and nobody was checking for me at first, but I was able to just keep going. And I love it because God uses those moments where we're not known. A lot of the times when we do something, we want to blow up right away. But I've learned through time that it's a gift. Sometimes the gift is to be hidden, that you can hone in on your skills. You can cultivate your skills as you're just doing something without the weight and the pressure of so many eyes on you. But I used that time, and I just, the more I did it, the more confident I got in it. And not just because I got confident in, oh, I sound good, but I would see the fruit of the thing I was producing. So like that turned into me creating a Minding My Faith subscription box. And I would do devotionals, affirmations, and give people the tools, literally step-by-step tools, exercises that they can use to help them with some of the things that we face. And one of the things that I'm also really passionate about is making it practical, because a lot of times we'll read a scripture, we'll read a book, we'll listen to a sermon, and it's like, it sounds so amazing, but then people leave out and they're like, but how do I apply that to my life? And so that became something that was big for me, being able to teach people how to take what they learned and apply it so that they can see real change in their life. And when I started seeing those people come back and saying, hey, because of what you said, because of what you did, because of what I got through you, this is how it was impacting my life. And when I started to see that, that's when I'm like, oh, wow, God really is using me. This is not all in my head. I'm not making this up, that I have a gift, that he's placed me here to do something. And I'm actually able to see the fruit of what he's called me to do. And I think that for me made it not so much that I was overcoming fear, but more so that fear couldn't be my driver anymore, because I recognized that something was bigger than me, that there were people attached to me, that there was people connected to me being obedient to what God has called me to do. And so when I took myself out of it and recognized, like, okay, let me take a picture, the bigger picture, I think that's what made me more confident and also allowed me to step away from fear. It's like, the fear might still be there. Sometimes the doubt is still there. Sometimes the insecurities are still there, but in spite of, it was that moment when things switched from what if to even if. So it was no longer a question of what if they don't listen to me, and what if they don't like me, or what if I'm too this, or what if I'm too that. I switched my perspective to, what, even if they don't like me, I'm still going to do what God told me to do. Even if I'm too much for them, there's still going to be those people who I'm just perfect for. And so I'm going to continue to do what God told me to do, what I feel my spirit to do, even if all of these things that used to be what ifs occur.
I absolutely love that.
That was a very long way of bringing you through my journey. How do you put all into words what God has done through 6-7 years, the impact he's made on my life, the way he's changed things? It's hard to put it in a few sentences. So I apologize for being long-winded, but it's really been a journey.
No, it was so needed. And I thank you for taking us through your journey, because I do think some people dull or simplify just the overall goodness of God, right? And how he's shown up in their lives, and they distill it to like maybe a sentence or two. And it really takes away from everything that he's brought you through. So thank you for taking us on that journey with you. One thing that stood out to me as we're sharing is you said you made a decision And once you like flip that switch and activated this new thought pattern, what came up for me is that at that point, your goal was growth. And so you chose to grow in two areas, personal development and spiritual development. Were there any other shifts that maybe I missed as we were going through your journey that you feel like are essential to move from that place where, okay, my life doesn't look the way that I want it to look in the way that I know it should look because I know he wants more for me. As you moved towards purpose, were there any other keys or tips or strategies that you could share there?
Ooh, there were so many shifts. He's still shifting me even in this moment and where I'm standing right now. It's like the more you know, the more you know you don't know. So there's constant shifts. I would say that the one shift that took place was stop being attached to the outcome so much, because there was a point in time when, especially starting out on social media, you get so obsessed with the likes, you get so obsessed with the shares and comments and people engaging that it's easy to fall into the trap. And it's definitely a trap to focus on that instead of focusing on what God told you to do. And so if I put all this energy and effort into creating this thing and I'm not getting the response that I want, I'm not getting the outcome that I want. And I remember God really working with me on that and just reminding me that, first of all, one, there are going to be people that you impact that you never know that you impacted. And I remember he was brought to my remembrance all the people who impacted me. Stephen, how I mentioned through my journey, Shonda Rhimes, Ty Lopez, Stephen Furtick, Sarah Jakes Roberts, TD Jakes, all these people who helped me along the way, who do not even know I exist, who do not even know the impact that they have had on my life. And in turn, the people who I'm connected to, they have no clue how their impact on me has now impacted others. And so if they were waiting around to be able to know and just see with their own eyes the impact, they can never measure that by social media. They can never measure that by the amount of clicks or likes that they get, because it's so much bigger than that. And there may be people who may scroll past my thing and hear exactly what they need in the moment that they need it, who may not ever click like, who may not ever click comment, but they needed that word. And not only did they need that word, but God wanted them to know that they are seen, that they heard, that they are valued. And he was using something that I said to get that across. And I remember moments in my journey where I was so low, where I was so ready to give up or give in, and God used somebody else's word to speak life into me. And I just think about the fact that if they had decided, I'm not going to do this because I don't feel like people care enough, or I'm not going to do this because it's not getting the attention that I want in this moment, if they had given up in their journey, I wouldn't have got the word that I needed. And I wouldn't have been able to stand up on my two feet and be the woman that I am for my family. I wouldn't have been able to make it through certain trials and tribulations that I had to go through in my life. I recognize how much other people saying yes to God and other people stepping into their gifts, regardless of what the outcome was, impacted me. And I'm like, how dare I take that gift, but then not also use that gift for others. So that was a shift to not really focus on the numbers. And then another shift, even recently, that he's been showing me is, it's not all about a gift. It's not all about what you are good at, because sometimes you have a gift, you have a talent, you have something that you have cultivated, you have spent time in building. And God is like, that's not the part. I'm working on your structure. Right now, I'm working on your character. So there's different areas that he's working on. And there was a time in my life where I'm like, if I just get good at this, then I should be straight. It doesn't matter about all these other areas that you're talking about. I know that I can help people. I know that I can speak life into people. I know that I'm a great communicator. I know these things. So God, I've spent the last 6-7 years cultivating the gift that you gave me. I read my scripture. I know how to use biblical application in real life. Like, I can do all those things. You can call me in a pulpit, and I no longer have that fear that I used to have of, what if the Holy Spirit's not with me today and I'm just up here by myself? I've gone past that, and now he's working with me on the fact that I need you to build structure, because where I want to take you, there's going to be weight associated with that. A lot of the times we will add weight in our lives, but we won't change the structure. And so the same way when you are building something, you're like, okay, this can hold this much weight, but if you add any more weight, it's going to break. And God is, I love you too much to let you break under the weight of what I've called you to do, because he wants us to have not just success, he wants us to have good success. So how we were talking in the beginning, how I'm like, by every definition, I have success, but that is not the definition that God goes by. He says, I want you to have fulfillment. I want you to have peace. I want you to have joy. And I want you to be able to do all of that while doing what I called and created you to do. And so if you have one but not the other, you're not going to be happy. If you have the influence but you don't have peace, then what was it worth? And so learning that I want to have all of those things together, and that in order to do that, I really do have to submit to God and let him build me. When we say he is the potter, I am the clay, he's shaping, he's molding, he's cutting some pieces out. He's saying, you need this to be a little bit here, and you need this to be a little bit over there. And I have to trust that he is not just building a life for me, he's not just building a dream for me, but that he is building me brick by brick, layer by layer. He's saying, this I need to stay in, this I need to come out. And so the last shift I'm currently shifting through or transitioning in is the ability to just let God do it. The scripture that says, like, promotion doesn't come from the east or the west, but it comes from God. So I don't have to hustle hard. I don't have to try to make my own way and make my own connections. I just have to be obedient, and God will promote me when the time is right. I don't want anything before its time, because a gift in the wrong season will be a curse. And so understanding that is the shift that I'm working through now, where I'm changing the pace of things, where God, I want it in your timing. So I'm going to continue to work on the things that I know to work on. And I know that you are putting me in situations and giving me the opportunities to build me up in the areas that you still see that need to be grown in.
I absolutely love everything you just shared. Like, I'm sitting over here taking notes, like, okay, I need to do this. I need to work on this. As you speak, the word that keeps coming up for me is surrender. Mm. Can you talk us through the importance of surrendering at each one of those shifts?
Yeah, surrender is one of those things that comes in levels, and there are different types of surrenders. I remember when God said to me, because I'm like, I am surrendering, like, I'm doing what you told me to do. And there are two different types of surrenders, because there's a surrendering that's done when somebody has you at gunpoint and you're like, all right, I'm at gunpoint, I have my hands up, I'm surrendering. But there's still a fight in you. And so it's like, yeah, I'm going to do what you tell me to do. But as soon as I can get the upper hand on this thing, or as soon as you look away, I'm surrendered now. But when that gun's not pointed to me, I'm coming after you. Or I'm not going to do this thing the moment I'm not being forced to. And so that's not the type of surrender that he wants for us. He wants us to have the Christ-like surrender that says, no man take my life, but I give it. And I think what we a lot of times, what I a lot of times have done in the past is like, he had forced my hand into it. And so what surrender looks like for me now is, God, if there's an easier way for me to learn this, I'm willing, I'm open. And also being honest with him about where I am in my journey. I know that he knows where I am, but when I think about scripturally or biblically, the first question that you ever hear God ask is, where are you? When Adam and Eve fell short and sinned and did what they weren't supposed to do, that was what God asked, where are you? And it's not because he lost them, but it's because it's a question that we have to be able to answer. Where am I? Yes, I want to do the thing and I'm surrendered to you, but I need to be at a space where I'm not just surrendering because you're forcing my hand. I'm not surrendering because I have no other option. You backed me into a corner. God, help me to get to a point where I lay this thing down because I recognize that it's holding me back from being connected to you fully. And that's very difficult sometimes. There's a scripture that I can't call it off the top of my head. I know it's like Deuteronomy or something, but the scripture says, God is saying before the harvest, he's like, when the harvest comes, you're going to have to move out your old to make room for the new. And when I read that, I was like, wait a second. He was talking about blessing them. And in the blessing, he says, you are going to have to move out the old to make room for a new harvest. That means that there are some things that may feel like a blessing that I'm still going to have to push out to make room for something else. And we always talking about letting go or releasing the things that are not working. It's easy to talk about the things that we need to surrender to God that are bad for us. You know, I need to surrender this addiction to him. I need to surrender my marriage is not working. I need to surrender that to him, or I need to surrender this job to him because if you know, the way my manager is talking to me, to surrender this to him because I can't do it on my own. And that's cool. But then there's the level of surrender where this is actually working for me. This is working for me and I still have to surrender it. Because even though it's working for me, it's not working for God's purpose for me. And so that is where I'm at in my submission journey is learning how to release that which is working for me, but that's not working for God. And the way he brought me there was through the scripture of Pharaoh. When I think about the children of Israel and Moses went to Pharaoh and he said, God has said, let my people go that so that they may worship me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh's like, no. And he didn't say no because he just wanted to say no. He said no because the people that he was wanting to be released were working for him. Pharaoh was benefiting from the work of the children of Israel. And so, okay, Pharaoh, this is working for you, but this is not working for God. And that's why, because you're unwilling to let this thing go, you're going to experience these plagues. You're going to experience these things until you are willing to let this thing go. Until the pain of keeping this thing is outweighs the benefit that you're getting from keeping this thing. And so I don't want to be Pharaoh in that situation anymore. I don't want to continue to hold on to things that, although they're working for me, go against what God is trying to do. And I don't want to be like Pharaoh that says, okay, God, you're going to have to make me let this go either. And yeah, that's where I'm at in my submission. How do I get to a point where I'm able to release these things and surrender them, where it's just, I'm giving it to you. You don't have to take it.
My God, that analogy that he just gave you, it has left me distraught. I need you to know that. But the idea of there being multiple types of surrender and also a decision where you can fight him with the nail about it. Right? The imagery that you gave about someone having a gun to your head, or you can do it willingly. It just has me over here like, Lord, I know there's some things I'm fighting you on and how can I do better? But I think the point of this conversation, right, for us to recognize things within your journey and things that you've been through and learn from them so that we do better, because that's what he wants for us. He wants us to draw closer to him and just do better and believe what he says about us. If you could go back and talk to your former self, so before you even started this journey, Tef, before you made the decision that you wanted to be happy, which sort of sparked everything, what would you say to yourself?
Ooh, it's so crazy you asked that question. I was on Instagram, one of those platforms that get you sucked into their videos. And there was a therapist talking, and she said, "I want you to close your eyes and walk into your childhood bedroom and visualize you see your childhood self sitting on the bed. I want you to tell them all the things that you think they needed to hear at that time." It almost brought me to tears as I did the exercise. But it's, I just want to tell you that you are so worthy. I want to tell you that you are not too much. I want to tell you that there's going to be a lot of people who don't understand you, but it's not because there's something wrong with you. That when you are called to a higher and greater purpose than certain things, that you're gonna look out of place. That God created you uniquely. He created you specially. So when you are unique and special and a peculiar people, this is the words that God uses to describe us. When you are those things, of course you are not gonna fit in. But don't try to fit in. Don't want to fit in. Be who God called you to be. That it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be times where you have to release people that you really care about, that you have to walk away from people that you think have your best interests, but they're not. Like, I wish I could tell her that what she's experiencing is not because she is unlovable, but because God loves her so much that he doesn't want her to be attached to things that will bring her down, that he doesn't want her to be connected to things that will cause her to settle. Yeah, I want her to know, like, that's, I guess, what I would tell myself now. And it's, and honestly, there are still moments where that child in me still flares up. And I have to remember, well, some of these friendships, some of these relationships, they are going to have to end. And it's going to hurt sometimes because letting go hurts even when you know you're supposed to let something go. But that you are worthy, you are worth finding out what God sees in you. That there is a whole world out there that is waiting for you to step into who you truly are. I wish I would tell her that where you are now is not a reflection of where you are going to be, that this is just a moment in time that is building you, that it's growing you, and that it's cutting you in all the necessary places for you to be fruitful. I would tell her that God has a plan for her, that she doesn't have to be afraid, that she can trust him. And that she can trust her own intuition that he's given her when things don't seem right to follow that. Yeah, I would just tell her, like, it's gonna be okay. You are gonna be okay because even though you may not know what the next chapter is going to bring, just know that the one that is the author of this book called Your Life, he is the greatest author, and that you can trust him to write out your chapters. I think that's what I would tell her, if my younger self.
That's beautiful. One of the things that I've been praying for regarding this particular summit is just that God would put these sessions in front of even non-believers, right? I know that this summit was created for Christian women by Christian women, but my prayer has been that He would just get it to the people who need to hear it, those people who are lost and apart from Him, that are struggling with fear, doubt, shame. What would you say to the person who meets that criteria, right? They're apart from him either because they chose a different path when they became an adult or because they have never been introduced to him. And they find themselves feeling misunderstood, feeling alone, feeling like there's something more but they don't know how to escape their current situation to pursue that. Maybe the idea of purpose is swirling around in their head, maybe not, but they know that there is something more that they should be doing. What would you say to that person to move them from a place of doubt to just the first step, the baby steps that we need to take towards moving towards our assignment and our purpose?
So there's two parts to it, right? Because I do believe that God's word works even if you don't believe in him. God's principles, God's character is the same even if you don't recognize it. So when I made that decision, like you said earlier, to purposefully grow, intentionally grow, that was when I came into the understanding of certain things. But God was working and moving even before I decided to like tap in, right? So when I say I didn't start out on a spiritual path, I just started out wanting to be happy. And then I would hear certain things, read certain things, see certain things, experience certain things that led me to this place, because ultimately he's the only one that's going to be able to get you there. In my book, when I wrote, Okay, God, But How? It was literally this roadmap that says, hey, you want to make these changes in your life. You want to transform your life. You want to step into your purpose. Here are the steps. So whether you're a believer or not a believer, all I can do is give you the steps and you can choose whether you want to take those steps. And that's honestly for believers and non-believers alike, because you could be a believer and still not take the steps. So the first thing I tell people is you will never know what you were created to do, who you were created to be, without asking the one who created you to do and be it. And I think a lot of times that's one of the main missing links, is I'm trying to figure out what I was created to do without seeking help from my creator. And so that's the first thing I say to people, is you should, whether you want to call it God, whether you want to just call it meditation, you need to have some type of spiritual practice where you are tapping into a higher realm. Because I don't know the future. Everything that I can try to do would be predictions based on my past. So if I'm trying to change my life, what am I using to do that? Now, I could say I want this. Let me look at people who have this and try to mimic what they did. But that doesn't always work. I won't say it never works, but it doesn't always work. The first thing I say is find a spiritual practice of meditation, journaling, praying, something that's going to help you tap into this higher realm, because the Holy Spirit knows the past and the future, the beginning and the end, right? So he's going to be able to start revealing certain things to you. The second thing I always say is spend time alone. I cannot be who I was called to be without a period of isolation where I'm spending time to get to know me. What do I like? What do I not like? What am I good at? What are my gifts? What has God given me? What did he place in my hands? So many times we haven't even spent enough time with ourselves to even get to know ourselves. We think about ourselves in reference to someone else or to something else. So this is me as a mom. This is me as a wife. This is me as an entrepreneur. But who are you outside of all of those things at your core? Who are you? And you don't get to know you without spending time with you. And I think getting to understand your desires, there's a scripture that says that he will give you the desires of your heart. And I remember when he broke this down to me, where it's like me saying that those who delight in the Lord, I will give them the desires of their heart, does not mean that I'm just going to give you anything you want. What it means is if you delight in me, so you're spending time with me, you're cultivating your communication with me, doing all these things with me, I'm going to give you what to want. So sometimes we have these divine desires that God put in us because he wanted us to go after something. But because we haven't taken time to really ask ourselves, like, what do I desire? Then we miss it. So those are the Those are two things. And then figure out what agitates you, what aggravates you. There's something called a unique agitation. So same, you could walk in the room and see something and it bother you, and somebody else can walk in the room and they could care less. It's because you have a connection to that thing that's aggravating you, and you probably have an answer within you that you were created to be a solution for that on a bigger scale. And so I tell people, pay attention to the things that aggravate you that don't typically aggravate other people. And then also, where do you get attacked? So if you are called in the area of relationships to help build up relationships, then more than likely the enemy is going to attack you in that area. If you are, because he knows in order for you to fulfill your purpose, you have to be able to have good relationships for you to want to pour into people's relationships. But if I can get you at a young age to not trust people, if I can get you to be resentful about certain things that's happened within your friendships or within certain relationships, I can get you to not step into your purpose. So I also tell people, look at the things that constantly run in cycles in your life where, I'm always being attacked in this area. Why is it that every time I get a close friend, I'm always betrayed? Why is it that in all my relationships, they always cheat on me? Is it so that I can have a bitterness about relationships? Some things, like, we don't take enough time to investigate and say, why does this keep happening? And so I tell people, like, take a look at the cycles and the patterns of your life. They are telling you something. And when you get that information, decipher, what is this telling me? And then try to do something about that. And then the last thing I will say, because there's a couple other steps that I talk about in much greater detail in the book, but one thing I will say is radical self-accountability. And I don't mean being accountable for other people and what they do to you, like taking on everything as your own, but I will say the greatest gift that I got was when I understood I have more power than I ever thought I had. That this whole time I thought things were happening to me, but when I shift the perspective and recognize these things are happening for me, and that they weren't, I'm not a victim in this life, that I have control, that I have power, that I have authority that's been given to me to make these changes in my life. As long as I was blaming other people, I had no power to change it because I can't change other people. But when I took self-accountability, radical self-accountability, to say, what role did I play in this outcome? I looked at my life, I spent time with myself, and I'm like, I don't like these things. Okay, then I'm looking at my patterns and I'm saying, I don't like these things, but these things keep happening to me. And now I take the victimhood out of it and stop saying these things keep happening to me because these people keep doing this thing to me, and recognize that there's a role that I've been playing in my own suffering, and I no longer want to play that role. And when I got that, that changed everything. Now I just have to say, what role am I playing and what can I do differently to get a different outcome? Because input absolutely controls output. So if I don't like what I'm getting out, I have to go back and say, what did I put in? Now, if I'm putting in all the right things, but somehow the output is not coming out, then that can mean a couple different things. It may mean that I just started putting it in, I just haven't given enough time for the output to change. And it could also mean that God is using the scenario, the situation, the circumstance to, like I said earlier, build something inside of me. And so I may not see the output right away because he's doing something inside first. So those are some of the tips that I would say to somebody, even if they weren't a believer, to at least start. But I honestly believe, like I said, it'll get you so far without God. But to have that good success, that fulfilled success that comes with peace and joy and love and all of those things, you're not going to be able to get that without God.
Yeah, it makes me think of a scripture in John where it says that God is the vine and we are the branches, and apart from him, we can accomplish nothing. I think so often I'll just speak for myself. So often I have tried to go back and create self-success for myself. I've tried to identify success through someone's eyes, even not even looking at it as something that I wanted to pursue, but going back to something you said earlier in the conversation, pursuing things that maybe culture says I should want, or maybe family members who had different life experiences think I should want because they want better for me. And so I think it's always important to do exactly what you just taught us to do, right? Which is to go back to the source, go back to God, determine what he wants from you, what he put inside of you, right? When we were just in our mother's wombs. Mm-hmm. But not only that, go to him along the way so that he can help you identify what success truly looks like.
Absolutely.
All right, Tef. I know that you have tons of other tips and strategies that you can share with us. And honestly, I would probably try to talk your ear off and get at least two or three more out of you. But I want our listeners to have an opportunity to check out your book and to be able to go through this and learn this for themselves. It's one thing for you to talk at them. But like you said, some people like might not take the strategies. They might not pick them up or go through them just by hearing it. And so with the book, they're able to take it, go through it at their own speed, and pick up the nuggets and the practical tips and the aha moments and all those things that the Holy Spirit has given you and allowed you to lay out for them. It's like a blueprint. They're able to do that in their own time. Can you tell us a little bit more about the book, where we can find it, what the title is, and just a brief description of what else you go into within the book?
Yeah, absolutely. So the book, Okay God, But How, it is available on Amazon. It's also available through my website, www.mindingmyfaith.com. You can find me on Instagram, XO_Teph, TPH, which if you go to my bio, you'll see links for all types of resources, but you will also see my book, my podcast. As far as what the book is about, it's literally giving you the blueprint of how to step into purpose and overcome those obstacles that are bound to come. One of the things that I wish I had known starting out this journey is what to expect. And in this book, what I do is I give you 5 things to help you step into your purpose. But then I, on the flip side of that, is okay, now that we've gone through these steps, and now that I know what I want to do, what God called me to do, what I was created to do, now that I'm clear on that and I have a clear vision for what I'm going after, I don't want you to just be out there going hard, because sometimes that happens, right? We hear these things, we read these things, and we're just very on high. We're on our mountaintop. And then the pits come and then valleys come, and it's like, wait a second. I thought that if I was doing what God told me and called me to do, that I should not be experiencing so many obstacles, experiencing so much resistance. And so on the second half of the book, what I do is I go through some of the things that you can expect while you're going through your journey. Some of the things that will be key markers of, yeah, I know this feels crazy right now, but you're on the right path. Keep going. And so that's what I teach in the book. And yeah, that's the main thing. I do have some like ebooks that actually gives exercises and specific step-by-step guides. So the book is giving you the principles, it's giving you the fundamental of how to find your purpose and then how to overcome those obstacles. But then I do have Coming Unstoppable, which is an ebook that's also available on my website. And that actually gives you exercises. So it's, hey, step one, I need you, these are the journal prompts that I need you to do. I need you to write this out. I need you how to create a SWOT vision board for yourself. Okay, so what are my strengths? What are my weaknesses? What areas are threats to me? And all of that for your own personal development. It gives you an outline. It's very thorough, probably almost too thorough, but I wanted to make sure that there was no confusion, because the worst thing is when you know what you want to do, but you just don't know how to do it, that you are fully committed in wanting to grow, but you just don't know where to start. And so that's what both of my books do, because frankly, I know that not everybody is going to listen to 4,000 sermons. I know that everybody is not going to necessarily read their whole Bible multiple times. I know that everybody is not going to have time, energy, patience, whatever it is, to read through hundreds of books. And so what I did is I took all the information that I got, and then I also tapped into the Holy Spirit, and I allowed him to filter what I learned through what he says. And then I just presented it and packaged it for you.
Thank you for going through this journey for us. Thank you for leading the way and just creating the blueprint. It's so needed. I know at the top of this conversation, you mentioned the importance of knowing our role in the kingdom and actually moving into our purpose. And so I just thank you for being obedient. Thank you for leading the way. I know God does the leading, which as a person on earth who shares her knowledge through her book with us, thank you for leading the way. Underneath our interview, there will be an opportunity for people to hop on your email list and learn a little bit more about you. Do you want to tell us and whisk through that free gift that you've prepared for the listeners?
Yeah, so obviously in the marketplace, I do have my book there, but I do also have something for prayer. I don't even know if I shared this with you to put on there, but I will do so after. It's called The 4 Steps to Effective Prayer, because a lot of times people, not to say there's a right or wrong way to pray, because there's not a right or wrong way to pray, but there is an effective way to pray. And so what I did is I put together as a free gift, a guide to how to step into that, so that that's not something that's separating you. That's not something that's holding you back. That's not something where it's like, oh, I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to talk to God. Mm-hmm. I know you said that part of the first step, but I don't even know where to start with that. So I want to give that as a free guide, 4 Steps to Effective Prayer. And I'll send that over to you so you can have a link to it.
Thank you so much. And then last question for you. Like I said, I know I've talked your ear off, but that's just around the marketplace. Do you have a gift? Not a gift, excuse me. Do you have an item inside of the marketplace that we can take advantage of and purchase?
Absolutely. So my book, Okay God But How, is in the marketplace. So if you did not want to go to Amazon and you did not want to go to my website, you can find it right in the marketplace. It'll give you a direct link. And it will also ask you want to sign up for my newsletter, which is the Minding My Faith Bible Study newsletter. So you can join that as well. I send out a weekly newsletter, and it just breaks down biblical truths and how to apply it to your everyday life. So that's also in the marketplace.
I'm so excited about that. Tev, thank you for your time. Thank you for sharing your wisdom with us. Yeah, I have so many thank yous. Like, thank you so much.
No problem. I'm glad. I'm confident that everybody who listens to this will get something from it. And I'm confident that the Holy Spirit will make up the difference in any gaps, that he will be able to speak directly to people's circumstances, directly to people's situations, and directly to their hearts. I am grateful to you for, one, this opportunity, but also for creating this platform for people to tap into. You are also leading the way in something. So thank you.
Thanks so much, sis. Listeners, to take advantage of the rest of the sessions that are available to you today, again, just for opting in, you're going to have access to all of these amazing sessions forever. Yeah, just tap in. Take advantage of everything that's within your grasp and use it so that you can start walking in purpose. Use it so he can get the glory.
Hallelujah.